So, today we're continuing our series on the prophets. We started with Anna, who had uncommon faithfulness throughout her entire life. And we talked about Isaiah, who continually told people that who you are outside, who you truly are outside of the walls of the temple, is far more important than how you act inside of it. Last week we talked about Micah, who continually reminded his people that God really does care about true worship, and true worship involves being active in compassion, mercy, and justice, walking in love. And today we talk about the prophet Deborah. Deborah came before all of those. She was a judge. But first, I want to tell you a little story. This little boy named Tobias comes running in from the field. He'd been playing with some of his friends, and he comes running in. His dad's sitting there. Tobias says, "Dad, one of the kids was talking about Moses and Joshua. Can you tell me about him again? I don't remember the story." So his dad sits him down and says, "Sure. We had Moses, and he led the people out of Egypt. And then we had Joshua, who came in and he conquered the land. It was a brutal time." And little Tobias said, "Well, what do we have now? We don't have Moses, and we don't have Joshua." His dad said, "Well, about 150 years ago, God rose up some people that we call the judges, and now we have this judge, Deborah. And God keeps going through raising up these judges because, well, we're not always very good at remembering to be faithful to God. And yet, we keep going back, and God continues to be faithful." And Tobias sort of understood, and he looked up at his dad, and then they both noticed this commotion going on in the street outside. So they walked outside, and there was a man clearly wanting everyone to gather. He was calling all the men out and saying, "We need you to come quickly. Come quickly, everyone." So everyone kind of came out of the house, and there was lots of murmuring, "What's going on?" People were starting to gather. In the midst of all this confusion, the messenger calmed everybody down, and he said, "I have a message from the general, from General Barak. We have to go to battle." There was a hush over the crowd, and then this anger started to build. People were shouting, "Are you crazy? We can't fight Sisera. Sisera has 900 iron chariots. We cannot fight Sisera." "Yeah." Shouting going on. The messenger got calm again. He said, I know. He broke from this idea that he had to quiet everyone and just get them to obey. And the messenger said, I was there. General Barak sent me. I was there when he talked to Deborah. And Deborah said, God has already delivered Sisera into your hands." And people said, "This is crazy. Do you understand that they have iron chariots? They have 900, we don't have any. We don't even have iron. We can't do this." And the messenger said, "I know how it sounds. But Deborah is so sure of her message, so sure of what God has told her, that Barak said, fine, you're the prophet. You're the judge. You're the leader. You're coming with us. And Deborah said, okay. Just don't expect credit for this. Someone else is getting credit. And the people, still tension. There was some arguing back and forth. The messenger said, I need you to come with me. So they went back, dispersed, and gathered an army. And they were going to meet up with other tribes because the great army had been dispersed. And little Tobias sat in his living room looking out the window as his dad rode off with all the other soldiers. And it started to rain. It started to rain, and it rained for 2 weeks. And he had this thought in his little mind. Why does it always seem to rain on the sad days? We'll come back to that. So who was Deborah? Deborah was a judge, a prophet. She's the only female judge. She's one of about 5 or 6 female prophets listed in the Old Testament. Her name means honeybee. There's a lot of debate about why. Could have to do with fruitfulness. It could have to do with she had a little bit of bite to her. I tend to go with that simply because if you look at Judges 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I can be wrong about this. Wife of Lapidoth is an interesting phrase that occurs in the scripture. The word for wife in Hebrew can also just mean a woman. It doesn't really have a big impact. The word Lapidoth occurs nowhere else as a proper name. It means fire. It simply means fire. It's not a name anywhere else, not just in scripture. It's nowhere else. So it's also possible that that says, now Deborah, a prophet, and a woman of fire, or a fiery woman, a strong woman, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah. So she's acting as an actual judge. She's one who has authority to settle disputes, to settle legal matters, and she's also known as a prophet. So her leadership doesn't just come from her. Back when Moses and Joshua were leading, they were kind of like high priest, king, prime minister, all rolled into one. At this time in Israel's history, they've already conquered the land, and now they're just individual tribes. There's no big army anymore. The army that conquered the land was sent home. They were all sent home. Each tribe had its own kind of civil defense force, but not much. And so the general Barak comes to Deborah. Go to the next one. Comes to Deborah and says, okay, I understand you want me to fight Sisera, this king from the Canaanites, but he's way too strong. Way too strong. And just like the messenger in the story said, he says, I can't do that unless you go with me. Now, Barak kind of gets a bad rap for this. I tend to think that what he's doing is actually saying, okay, if you're so sure about this message, and you're God's prophet, and you're the leader of the people, I need you to come with me. I need you to come with me. Certainly I will go with you, said Deborah. Barak is actually listed as a hero of the faith in the New Testament, in Hebrews 11. Deborah is considered probably the greatest prophet, or the greatest judge, because she was willing to follow God's lead. She was willing to do what kind of seemed silly. She understood that Israel's history at this point is kind of this pattern of sin and turning back to God, and sin and turning back to God. We know of 15 judges. Deborah was the fourth. And each time you see this cycle. And before we get too judgmental of other cultures, we have to see ourselves in that, right? Both culturally and individually. We go through these cycles. We go through cycles where we see our own just messed up lives. And we go through times where we cry out to God for mercy. We cry out to God for help. And we see God restore us. God's still working in the midst of people who need their judgment settled by a great judge. So now we go back to our story. Little Tobias, it's about 2 weeks and the rain finally stops. He's still kind of sitting around. He started to play a little bit again, but he's still waiting. He's still sitting at that window a lot of the day. He somehow doesn't really feel hope, but something in him tells him, okay, God really did say he was going to help. And over the horizon comes the soldiers. The army comes in. And there's his dad. And there's a celebration as they come home. And they start to tell stories. The soldiers are there telling this amazing story of how Sisera and his army were up on this hillside. And Israel, standing there against 900 iron chariots, literally standing there against people with horses and long spears that could simply run them over, were sitting there and it was raining and they were angry. They were like, you know, if we're all going to die in battle, could it at least stop raining? And they were just far enough off to see that the charge had started. Sisera had ordered his army to come down off the hill into the valley. And then the general was like, hold on a minute, don't run, just stay back here. And Sisera's army came into the valley where it had been raining for 2 weeks with iron chariots. Oops. And the book of Judges tells us that the army was quickly destroyed and Sisera fled on foot. And the people rejoiced because God had performed a miracle that seemed so frustrating, a miracle that seemed to come from nowhere, and yet they couldn't deny that the odds were clearly tipped in their favor. When 900 with iron chariots simply became 900 cranky people whose plans weren't working out the way they thought they would. And the town celebrated, and for 40 years there was peace in the land. For 40 years under Deborah, there was peace following this battle. Go to the next slide. Barak's army was successful. Sisera ended up fleeing on foot into this little town that he had an alliance with, where he decided to hide in a tent. And he hid in the wrong tent because the person in the tent killed him. That was the end of Sisera. If you want to read the more visual version, read Judges 4. But the story of Deborah. We can go to the next one, too. The message of Deborah. when I think about the history of myself, when I think about my own life, I see these cycles that I talked about. I see the same cycles that the Israelites were in. I see cycles in our own culture where we tend to get this idea that if I'm going to be prosperous, I've got to have stuff. I've got to have the best technology. It's got to be there because then I can perform the best. I can do the best. And then there's usually a cultural switch. I think it occurs both as a whole and also individually in us in some way where we think, and I don't know how it happens, but we think rather than I can be the best, I can defeat the least. And I think when that occurs is when we hit idolatry the hardest. I think when that occurs, we fail to understand that we need to trust in God, not the stuff. The stuff will not save you. It simply won't. It might feel like it will, and it might sustain you for a little while, but the stuff will not save you. Sisera trusted in iron chariots. It seemed like a pretty good bet. No one else had them. What do you trust in? What is the most advanced technology of today that you trust in? Will it get you where you want to go? Wisdom is a gift. Deborah had it. Later on, King Solomon is told, you can have anything you want. And he asks for wisdom. And God looks incredibly favorably on it. Wisdom is a gift from God. A gift that we're actually called to use for his purposes. When we think about the other prophets, when we think about Isaiah and Micah, we see that we're called to action. And that comes because we realize there's things that are wrong in the world. We have to use our heads, right? We have to be willing to say, okay, I do recognize that something isn't right. Deborah's success as a leader was largely because of her wisdom. Because she was wise enough to gain the trust of the people around her, to be a just judge, to be one who was known for being faithful, who relied on God, who relied on the gifts that God had given her. God gave us powerful brains so we can use them for his purposes. And this, that God works to fulfill his promises. I don't know what it would have been like to go out into battle with these other tribes that have been separated for quite a while, people you don't really know. And you're joining with them to go fight an army that, yeah, your general says he's got this mandate from God. That doesn't always work out. It doesn't always end well. And yet, you go, and it's raining and raining and raining. And you're going, God, this does not seem like you're being that faithful to me right now. And yet, God answered the call. God fulfilled his promise. Well, that doesn't explain why bad things happen. We can't get away from that. Bad things do happen. And I don't always have the answer, and I won't always have the answer, and neither will you, as to why. But I can tell you that I have immense hope that God fulfills his promises. God fulfills his promises. when we look at Jesus, we see the promised Messiah. We see one who died. Shouldn't start there. We see one who lived and then died for us. Then was resurrected and then said, I'm coming again and everything will be made new. When I look at our world, it's not always easy to see how things could be made new. Sometimes it feels like it's just raining too much. It feels like I can't see God in the midst of this anymore. And yet, we are called to an uncommon faithfulness. We are called to say, God, I will trust in you in spite of what I see around me. In spite of what my senses are telling me, I trust that you are faithful. We were given the Holy Spirit as a gift so that we could have the knowledge, the for sure knowledge that God is working in our midst. And we do it together. That's why we meet together at this table every week. Because God is with us. We say God is with us even when we don't feel it. We acknowledge that God is with us even when it feels like the exact opposite. And so, I want to challenge you with this. Look at your own life, at the things that you value. Where does God fit? What are the things that you can use your gifts to bring about the kingdom of God right here and now? And how can you be faithful even when you don't feel like it? How can you be a person who is willing to say, I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to keep on going. Would you pray with me as the band comes up? Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your servant Deborah, for those who followed her faithfully. I thank you for men and women who have gone before us and taught us about faith, who have prophesied, who have called us to love, who have called us to be faithful even in the midst of hard times. And I pray that for those here struggling through hard times, that you would show your face in a powerful way. In Jesus' name.